Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and live from the Miles Garrett School of Conflict Resolution, it's the Fourth and Inches show with Jana and the Sherpa. You can probably guess which one is which. Jana, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Nobody's hit me in the head with a helmet, so I'm feeling pretty good about the world.
Well, living in the Washington area, too, I noticed here that tickets for the Detroit-Washington game this Sunday start at $10, which means you can get a ticket to that game for less than a supersized thing of cat litter cross. Or a beer.
This is very true.
I'll stick
with
the
cat litter.
Yeah,
there's a lot of sad Redskin fans here, I'll tell you that. Not a good scene.
Yeah, between the impeachment hearings and the Redskins, it's probably not a good time to be in the Washington area right now.
It's a tough time. Tough time out here. But what are you going to do? At least Redskin fans are kind of conditioned to know they're going to be terrible. At this point, they're rooting for the Bengals to win so they can have the first overall pick. I keep bursting their bubble in the fact that the Bengals are just terrible, but no one seems to really believe that just yet. They'll get there.
As a Giants fan, I'm definitely rooting for Washington to upset, as it were, Detroit. I mean, I was rooting for them hard against the Jets last weekend, but that didn't happen. But
the Fighting Jeff Driscoll.
And the sad thing is that even if they win another game, they still have the tiebreaker over the Giants, or I should say the Giants own the tiebreaker over them by virtue of them having beaten them once. But the penultimate week of the season, week 16, the Giants will get their rematch. So hoping things break our way as a Giants fan.
Hey, I'll take it. I'm fine with that. I have no beef with your Giants. I'm a big Daniel Jones fan, as we all know. Bigger than you are, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that's safe to say. Oh, you will appreciate this. This one dynasty fantasy team that I have this year, due to a lack of planning, my two quarterbacks are Kyler Murray and Kirk Cousins, who, of course, both have buys this week, so the only other quarterback on my roster is Eli Manning. So Eli Manning will be starting for my dynasty team this week.
Oh, jeez.
I'm trying to tank in that league, so it kind of works out, but still.
Well, I think that's a really good strategy if that's your game plan. If you're trying to win games, I'm thinking maybe you're going about it the wrong
way. I'm trying to put forth a decent effort, so I do start Kirk Cousins most weeks, but you know, I'm not tanking to the point where I would put Eli Manning in the starting lineup. I'm not quite that bad, but anyway, yeah, my roster definitely needs some improvement.
Oh God, that's tough out there, I gotta say. Eli Manning starting.
I think Taysom Hill is probably the top ranked quarterback on waivers in that league.
Yeah, Eli Manning might be the best bet, I gotta say. He might be your guy.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Probably.
So things are going great in the fantasy world, I'm seeing.
Well, that was just a tale of woe. Generally, things are going okay, but not in that particular league.
General woe. Okay, well, we have an action-packed show for you. We'll try not to have any fights break out, but we make no promises. We will be here with you for...
Please don't fight me with a helmet.
I'll try not to. We'll be here with you for a full hour.
It'll take a lot of effort on your part.
I am kind of low to the ground as well, and we are definitely not in the same state currently. We'll be here with you until 10 p.m. Eastern time. We'll be back next week at our normal time, Wednesdays from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, we'll have our Thanksgiving turkeys for you next week, which everybody loves. We're with you all week long, all over social media as well. You can find us on Twitter at the number 4THN Inches Show, at JKIM16, and Fantasy_Sherpa. I'm pretty sure you can figure out who's who. And if you have lineup questions, you want to talk football, you just want to, talk picks, whatever, we're around. We always love talking football with you guys. And we've got an action-packed show for you tonight. It is the last of the bye weeks. It's a glorious day. You know how much we all hate them. So we've got all your waiver wire picks to get you through the lovely injury report I'll give you in just a minute, as well as your bye week issues. so that perhaps you're not starting Eli Manning. But hey, you know, sometimes you do what you got to do. We've got all
Can
of
I interrupt
the
before you
daily
start
fantasy
on with
picks.
The injury?
Go for it.
You know who the player of the week was last week, right?
I do. How are you feeling about it?
The guy whose jersey is in my family photo.
In your family photo. The one, the only, friend of only half the show, Josh Allen. Sherpa's nemesis,
yeah, well,
but now rostered on a few of your teams, is he not? Or has he already been sent by the wayside?
No, I think I picked him up in one league and then dropped. Or no, I got outbid for him in one league. But, yeah, that was many weeks ago. So, anyway, I'm definitely having some crow on that one. But hopefully he'll play well
it's
on
okay.
Thanksgiving Day against your Cowboys. That would make me feel – that would make me a big Josh Allen fan. But
I got to be honest,
I'm
going to lose somebody. I'm not going to be that upset if it's Josh Allen. I'm telling you, I like, as it's been well documented over the years of this show, I am a much bigger Josh Allen fan than you are. I've been drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm here for it.
If I were the Cowboys, I wouldn't even bother re-signing Dak Prescott. Just see if you can work out a trade with the Bills. You know, the one is
He'd
on the way down, the other's on the way
up.
He'd still
put up 300 yards behind that offensive line. I could put up 300 yards behind that offensive line.
Well, maybe
I might be
I'm
the
a
biggest.
Slow.
I might be the biggest Dak Prescott hater Cowboys fan out there. It's possible. I don't know.
Probably true.
But
I don't know why you hate him. I'll gladly take him on the Giants
just,
if you don't want him.
I mean, you can have him. I might rather have Daniel Jones. I don't know. I've just never been a
no,
Dak Prescott
don't.
Guy.
That's crazy talk.
It's not crazy. Not crazy. Granted, Dak Prescott does not just hand the ball to the other team. If we're going to throw INTs, we do it a little more style. So we got that going for us. But, unfortunately, we do have some injuries to report.
Maybe one week we just won't have any.
Maybe that would be great. Unfortunately, all of these people seem to be rostered on one of my fantasy teams. We got bad injury problems, but it's okay. Between bye weeks and injuries, we're going to find
teams.
A way to work through it. I've got five. It's not that bad, but we do have a lot of injured players. Biggest note, I won't bore you guys with the Indy and Houston injuries other than the fact that Marlon Mack did break his hand last week. He had some minor surgery, reinforced him a little bit, so they're kind of saying he's week to week. He's not done for the season. He's going to be back. Also worth noting, just a few notes from this week, Cincinnati has officially been eliminated from the playoffs. We had a keg stand for a touchdown that didn't stand. The Mexican field did hold up, sort of. And as you all saw in primetime on Thursday night, there was a bit of a ruckus between the Steelers and the Browns. The NFL has upheld Myles Garrett's indefinite suspension, which I think is a little crap, but that's just me. And Marquise Pouncey had his three-game suspension reduced to 2 games. And there's a lot of contention between the two teams, and they'll play next week. So I'm sure we'll have some good turkeys coming out of there next week. So we'll table most of that. But what did you think when you saw that on Thursday night?
It's just ugly. I mean, the game is obviously a violent game, and I understand the guys get wound up and all, but, you know, it's just, you got to be able to control that. I mean, as good a player as Myles Garrett is, you know, you can't be doing that. So
I hear you.
I don't
hear
have a problem
you. I do
with
think
them
that Mason Rudolph got off very easy
season.
For the fact that he very much started that, but, you know, that's
probably, but
there.
You've got to be able to walk away from that as a defensive lineman or whoever.
Yes, I'm with you. I think Myles Garrett was in the wrong, but maybe not as in the wrong as he's made out to be. So it'll be interesting to see how the NFL rules. Obviously, that's a big hit for the Browns since he is their best player, period, on either side of the ball, but particularly their defense has taken a hit here. So we'll see how that impacts them. They do have a little bit of good news. David Njoku is back from the dead, or a broken wrist, either however you want to look at it. He's activated off IR, eligible to play this week, but old Freddie Kitchens has not made a decision one way or another. I'm thinking he's probably out there, but we'll see. Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry were both limited in practice with groin and hip injuries, respectively. And on the Dolphins side of the ball, Ryan Fitzpatrick and his beard of magic back on the injury report. He was limited today. They're calling it right shoulder and right forearm injuries. So if this were hockey, it would be like his left leg. But we're pretty sure his right arm's a little dinged up. Should be fine this week. Their defense, however, Miami, pretty banged up. Put two guys on IR today. Not great. So Cleveland has a few things going for them this week. Hopefully they, you know, maybe I'll keep helmets on and try not to fight anyone, but you never know. In Denver, their offensive line is dinged up. Three of them not even practicing. So that's not the best news for whoever we decide to play quarterback there. It's not Joe Flacco for sure, but I'm not entirely sure that anyone's going to survive behind that offensive line today. Or I'm sorry, today, it's Thursday, on Sunday. So I'd be worried about that. Otherwise, they're pretty healthy. So we'll see how that goes. Unfortunately, on the Bills side of the ball, they're losing a couple of guys on defense right now. But overall, their offense is looking pretty good. So your boy Josh Allen, probably going to be all right this week. Wide receiver John Brown did not practice today, but they're calling it a rest day. Their linebacking core is a little worse off for the wear. In Pittsburgh, coming off their SmackDown on Thursday, there was a couple of pretty big hits before that all went down. Juju Smith-Schuster was knocked out of the game. They're saying that knee injury is not as serious, does not look like he's going to play Sunday. Also, James Conner, who left that game early re-injuring his shoulder, is likely not playing this week. And wide receiver Deontay Johnson, who they're calling concussion protocol. I mean, he was bleeding from the ears. It wasn't a good look. He is quote-unquote, still questionable, but he's not going to play this week either. So it will be a different-looking Steelers lineup out in Cincinnati. Good news for them. The Bengals are still the Bengals, so it'll probably be all right. A.J. Green, still not practicing due to that ankle injury that's kept him out all season, even though he was allegedly going to return last week. Not looking good for him this week. Wide receiver Auden Tate, also not practicing with a concussion. He looks pretty questionable. Tight end Tyler Eifert, actually healthier, didn't practice today. He is just getting a rest day, but he seems to be about the only healthy receiver on that team right now. So for what that's worth, I don't know if you really want to start him because he's still playing for the Bengals, but there you go. Your Giants getting healthier. Tight end Evan Ingram, who they were talking about maybe missing the rest of the season. He says he's feeling better with that foot injury. He says he's feeling good. He's not definitively saying whether or not he's going to play this weekend. Doesn't look like he's going to, but he's optimistic, which is good. He seems to be coming back at some point this season, which is very good for Daniel Jones. Wide receiver Sterling Shepard is still dealing with a concussion. He practiced fully, though, so he should be fine this week, finally back after missing the last couple of games. And on the Chicago side of the ball, Mitchell Trubisky left the game on Sunday late in the game with what they were calling a hip injury. Could just be ineffectiveness, but they're saying he has a hip injury and he should be fine. He practiced fully, and assuming there's no setback, he's going to be their starter. Tight end Adam Sheehan didn't practice today with a foot injury, but it looks like he should be okay this week as well. Out in Oakland, running back Josh Jacobs, still limited to practice that shoulder injury. He's still going to play through it as he has been all season, pretty much. The Jets offensive line is not looking healthy at all. They got beat up pretty good against Washington, which isn't great. Yeah. They are essentially the walking wounded. Everyone's got ankle injuries or knee injuries. It's not a good look. I'd be worried for Sam Darnold this week. I am worried for Sam Darnold this week. In Carolina, Christian McCaffrey, not on the injury report this week. It's been a couple of weeks. He's been dealing with knee and foot and heads and shoulders and knees and toes. He's healthy. He's fully practicing. It's exciting times. Also in that game, the Saints, also dealing with some offensive line woes. They're big dudes. It's getting late in the season. A lot of them have been beat up. Everybody's got rolled up ankles. Everyone's looking a little rough. So keep an eye on that come this week. I think they'll still be fine, but just something to think about. In Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston popped up on the injury report this week with what they're calling an ankle injury. He's been practicing fully. I see no reason not to start him this week. And on the Falcons side of the ball, they pretty much didn't have practice. I'm not entirely sure who made it on the field for them, because I know it wasn't most
They're
of their
so good they don't
defense.
Need to practice anymore.
I guess so. But we will see. Matt Ryan didn't practice, still dealing with that banged up ankle. Julio Jones didn't practice with a foot injury. He never practices on Wednesday, very rarely on Thursdays. Running back Devontae Freeman is not practicing. He is still dealing with a foot injury. He's questionable for this week. That's probably going to go down to game time, so have a plan B. And tight end Austin Hooper dealing with a knee injury, all not practicing. Austin Hooper, super unlikely to play, probably out still another couple of weeks. Also, most of their defense didn't show up to practice either. So, I mean, maybe they ran 4-on-4. I don't know what they did. Even their punter is injured, but he's coming back off IR. So we'll see what happens. In
they
Detroit,
had a pass and kick competition during practice.
They might have, and I hope Andy Reid showed
players.
Up for it. In Detroit, Matt Stafford's still not practicing with hip and back injuries. He's not going to play this week. I'd be shocked if he plays again this season. He seems to think otherwise, and more power to him, but he's not starting at quarterback this week. For the Redskins, they are dealing with quite a few injuries, but it looks like they're getting a little healthier. Running back Adrian Peterson didn't practice. He's still dealing with that toe injury. It's more resting than anything else. He's going to be fine this week. On the other hand, Chris Thompson came back. He was limited to practice today, still dealing with a toe injury, that turf toe that's plagued him the last couple of weeks. Keep an eye on that. That's going to go down to game time. Tight end Vernon Davis and his concussion is looking better. He was limited to practice today. And wide receiver Paul Richardson was also limited with a hamstring injury. Oh, my God, I can't talk. We're almost there, people. In Seattle, we saw a couple of weeks ago Tyler Lockett end up in the hospital with what they were hoping wasn't compartment syndrome, just a deep leg bruise. He did go through walkthrough. He's not officially practicing. He's going to try to play. This weekend, they're expecting him to, but again, have a plan B. In Philadelphia, they're still trying to figure out who's playing wide receiver for them and who's going to start a
Nelson
running back.
Nelson Aguilar dropped another ball.
Yeah, Nelson Aguilar is dropping everything. But I can see why you don't start a wide receiver.
He's babies getting thrown out windows.
Yeah, thank God. Nelson Aguilar actually did not practice as well. He's dealing with a knee injury. Jordan Howard did practice on a limited basis. He didn't play last week. They're still calling him day-to-day with that shoulder injury. Also, they signed Jay Ajayi last week, who did not play, but he's active. So you'd have Miles Sanders, Jay Ajayi, Boston Scott playing running back. So the running back by committee is very much in full force. Wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey was limited to practice today with his ankle injury. That seems to be an ongoing thing. In Jacksonville, wide receivers DJ Chark and Chris Conley both are limited practice. Both have hamstring injuries. Both look like they're going to play this week. And in Tennessee, Delanie Walker is back. The bye week got him healthier. He was practicing on a limited basis. He's been dealing with that ankle injury and hasn't played the last few weeks. They're hopefully going to get on the field this week. Wide receiver Corey Davis missed the Week 10 game 2 weeks ago since they were on the bye with a hip injury. He was fully at practice today. He's going to be fine for this week. In Dallas, wide receiver Amari Cooper fully participated. They're still listing him on the injury report with a knee injury, but he's going to be fine. For the game against the Patriots, their defense still in a bad way. Leighton Vander Esch is not going to play, and they're still trying to figure out what guards are going to get on the field. Not sure. Most of them weren't practicing. In New England, wide receiver Mohamed Sanu is dealing with an ankle injury, and Philip Dorsett with a concussion. Both did not practice. They are hoping to both get on the field. It looks like Sanu's got a better shot. A lot of guys were limited as well. Julian Edelman, who took a couple of big hits last week, is listed with a shoulder injury. He should play and be fine.
And threw a touchdown pass.
He sure did. You could start him at quarterback over Eli Manning, maybe. Just a thought. In Green Bay, tight end Jimmy Graham didn't practice. They're saying it's not injury related, more of a rest thing. Devontae Adams was a limited practice with that toe injury, so that's a good sign. And in San Francisco, again, not entirely sure who practiced for them. It's probably a shorter list than this injury report, but on the offensive side of the ball, tight end George Kittle did not practice. Running back Matt Breida didn't practice. Kicker Robbie Gould didn't practice. Wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders and wide receiver Deebo Samuel all did not practice, plus a couple of defensive players. So things are not looking healthy in San Francisco. It'll be interesting to see. You've got until our night games this week, so you've got a little bit of time, but I would say maybe have some other plans. And ladies and gentlemen, I may be on the injury report next because I might actually die from not breathing through that whole thing. So here we are. We are now done injuries. Get excited.
I think Julian Edelman might be Tom Brady's successor as quarterback of the Patriots. That looks like that might be their
honestly,
succession plan.
I think you're right. For all the people who are like, oh, they should have kept Jimmy Graham. They got to be kicking themselves. No, I'd rather have Julian Edelman play quarterback for me than Jimmy Graham. Or I'm sorry, Jimmy Garoppolo. Or Jimmy Graham.
I'd rather have Jimmy Garoppolo.
I would not.
He scored the game-winning touchdown against the Cardinals.
Turnover
no
machine.
Respect.
He's very mediocre. I'm
no
not.
Respect.
I'm not on board. None. Zero respect.
All right.
He is my Josh Allen in your world.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on.
Let's see how
the
waiver wire is looking.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, most of the running backs that
here.
I wanted to talk. Actually, there's some decent options this week, but a number of them play for Indianapolis. And since we're doing the show on Thursday night, that's not an option for you anymore. Although they were probably
sorry,
gone.
Sorry, guys. That's
but,
on me. That's on me.
No blame here. But you know, Jonathan Williams was a hot pickup this week, coming in as he did for Marlon Mack and rushing for over 100 yards on 13 carries last week. So he's high up on the chart. Nyheim Hines, PPR machine there. And if you want a sneaky Indianapolis pickup for next week, keep an eye on Jordan Wilkins. You know, depending on how well Marlon Mack is, Jordan Wilkins was actually listed as number two on the depth chart before he got hurt. So, you know, presumably
like
they would give
I
him
like
a,
it a lot.
So, other running backs of note this week, Bo Scarborough, you know, came in and actually might have a clearer path to a starting shot for the rest of the season with Detroit than any of the Indianapolis backs do. The Indianapolis backs, I think Jonathan Williams would probably be the highest ceiling guy in my mind. I remember he came into the league and was highly touted with Buffalo and then had some off the field incidents that got him kicked out of
yeah.
Buffalo. But, you know, he probably has the highest ceiling of those guys. You know, Bo Scarborough, you know, otherwise probably has a clearer shot at playing time, but I'm not sure the ceiling is as high. What did you think of him when he was with the Cowboys for 5 seconds?
I mean, I liked him. I would have liked to still have him, but like you said, he wasn't there very long, so it was tough to make a too much of an impact.
Okay, some
I have
other
no
running
with
backs.
Him,
of,
I'll say that.
That's good. Some other running backs of note: Raheem Mostert still getting some play in San Francisco. Gus Edwards. Every time Baltimore has a blowout, which seems like it's every other week, you know, he gets into the game and gets significant yardage. So worth at least a stash on your bench. And depending on how banged up and how many bye weeks you're dealing with for your running back core, he might actually be worth a flex start. Adrian Peterson, as Jana mentioned before, you know, with Washington, they have a nice matchup this week against Detroit. And if you're really desperate, Kalen Ballage has the Miami running back position all to himself, although that's not saying a whole heck of a lot.
Unfortunately, it's not saying a whole heck of a lot. You're right. There's not a lot there, point-wise.
All right. Moving on to wide receivers, yeah, some interesting, intriguing potential pickups there. Some old reliable options, Cole Beasley, out there still in a lot of leagues, you know, with Danny Amendola, who has really picked things up lately under Jeff Driscoll. Zach
mm-hmm.
Pascal, of course, Thursday night game, you can't have him at this point for this week. Let's see, who else do I have here on my list? Corey Davis with Jacksonville. Darius Slayton had a nice game against the Jets 2 weeks ago on the bye last week. So if you happen to pick him up to stash him last week, I'm not sure the Bears defense is the best one to start him against, but still, if he's out there, might be worth a high upside guy. Randall Cobb, still out there in a lot of leagues, depending on
yeah.
how healthy Amari Cooper is, he might get some more play, although again, New England, not the best matchup this week. James Washington with Pittsburgh, A.J. Brown with Tennessee, Hunter Renfrow with Oakland, Geronimo Allison with Green Bay. You mentioned Auden Tate banged up in Cincinnati, but if he plays, you know, he's somebody worth considering. And Deontay Johnson with Pittsburgh, also a little bit banged up, but also worthy of your consideration.
Yeah, I'm very high on Randall Cobb. He's getting a lot of targets. And Keneal Harry was very interesting this week. I think especially with how banged up their wide receivers are, I think those two are probably at the top of my list this week.
Okay, moving on to quarterbacks. Jacoby Brissett, again, Thursday night game, so you can't have him at this point anymore. But Sam Darnold's had a couple nice games in a row. He's out there and has another decent matchup this week. Nick Foles with Jacksonville, Ryan Tannehill, Mitchell Trubisky. Hard to recommend him, but playing against the Giants, if you're ever going to start him, this is the week to do it. Jeff Driscoll with Detroit, Mason Rudolph with Pittsburgh has a really nice matchup this week. And Dwayne Haskins, again, not somebody I'd be looking to start every week, but if you're desperate because of bye weeks or what have you, and he's out there, he has a pretty intriguing matchup this weekend as well.
Yes, yes. And just in case you wanted to see it in person, you could get a ticket for a mere $7 right now.
For less than the cost
just in
of
case
a pail
you're wondering,
of cat litter.
It's actually dropping. Ticket prices are dropping. So get in line, people. Big weekend in Washington.
Yeah, I'm wondering, on StubHub, you might actually get paid in addition to getting the ticket.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a giveaway. You might make out all right. You could be in the plus column by the time it's all said and done.
Probably.
I mean, you still have to watch a Redskins game.
But you still have
game,
to sit through that game, yeah.
Yeah,
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 that
would
be so appealing. But tight end-wise, top of my list, Ryan Griffin, who's seems to have some chemistry with Sam Darnold for whatever reason. TJ Hawkins.
Hey, somebody's got to.
Oh, yeah. Demaryius Thomas seems to a little bit. He had a bunch of catches against the Giants a couple weeks ago. O.J. Howard mm-hmm. with Tampa Bay, Dallas Goedert with Philadelphia, Noah Fant with Denver. And they have byes this week, but if you're looking to stash some tight ends for later in the season, Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith with Minnesota, both widely available. And I think Kyle Rudolph, after a slow start this season, has caught touchdown passes in
He's
each of the last 2 or 3 weeks. So something seems to be changing for the better there for him.
Yeah. It's working out okay. I've got him on two teams. We rode through the tough start, but things are picking up now. I fully endorse Kyle.
I cut him just in time for his bounce back.
Isn't that always the way?
Yeah.
Oh,
and as far as defenses go this week, no world beaters out there, but if you're looking to play matchups, Oakland's out there, Tennessee's out there, Detroit, Washington, and the Giants, all worthy of your consideration for this week.
There you go. I like it. So now that we've filled all the holes in your lineup, let's talk about who's starting, who to sit. What are you thinking?
All right, I'll kick us off with running backs this week. Top of my list, the shoulder injury-prone Josh Jacobs, really nice matchup against the Jets. Alvin Kamara checks in at 2 for me, Todd Gurley 3, Le'Veon Bell 4, Chris Carson 5, Carlos Hyde 6, James Conner, if he's healthy enough to play, 7, Brian Hill 8, Derrick Henry 9, Sony Michel, big disappointment last week, but he's number 10 on my list, and Mark Ingram was an honorable mention for me this week.
Okay. All right. Our lists do not look very similar. That's okay, though.
Why did
you guys
that
are
not
in purgatory.
Surprise me?
What a shock. Sure, some of my picks won't surprise you either. Top of my list, always top of my list, Christian McCaffrey. Sure, he's the only thing they have going offensively and really defensively, but he's so good, and I think it'll be all right. I've got Alvin Kamara at 2, Nick Chubb at 3, Saquon Barkley, and Leonard Fournette rounding out my top 5. Zeke all the way down at 6 on my list. Josh Jacobs, the shoulder injury scares me a little bit, but I've got him at 7. Aaron Jones, Derrick Henry, and Chris Carson rounding out my top 10.
All right, so we had 4 in common there. You'll be happy to know Saquon Barkley headlining my avoid list for this week.
You're terrible.
By Joe
You're
Mixon.
Terrible. You're the worst Giants fan.
It's not a matter of being a fan. It's just I'm trying to win fantasy football games, and I don't know that I want him in my lineup
too,
this week
him.
If I'm trying to do that. I mean, between his ankle, who knows what's going on with that, and the Giants' just general ineptitude, I have a hard time starting him, especially against a good defense like Chicago's.
I'm a believer.
The only saving grace there. I mean, his ankle will probably hold up because he won't be on the field for more than three plays at a time. But other than that,
I just want you to know I picked the Giants
much.
To win that game. Just get yourself
right.
Ready for that now.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, I didn't. Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, Kalen Ballage, Bo Scarborough. I told you to pick him up, but not start him this week. Philip Lindsay, and then both of the Washington backs, Adrian Peterson and Chris Thompson. You don't want them in your starting lineup this week.
There we go. We got our tandem. You can't quit it.
No, they were actually separate on my list.
Oh, okay. Look at you. Proud of you. I have James Conner at the top of my avoid list. I don't care how healthy or unhealthy he is. Even if he is playing, it's still against Cincinnati. And if he's out there, I don't think he's taking his normal amount of snaps. I don't want any part of it. Jordan Howard's on my avoid list as well. Same deal. If he's healthy, there's 17 guys playing running back right now. I don't know who's going to get in the mix. I don't know if he'll last the whole game. I don't want to take the chance on it. Jamal Williams, Kalen Ballage, he might be the guy in Miami, but he's still the guy in Miami. Rex Burkhead, Royce Freeman, J.D. McKissick, Frank Gore, Peyton Barber, and Kenyon Barner.
Okay, how about wide receivers who do you like this week?
I've got Michael Thomas at the top of my list. I'm going to surprise you here. I got a lot of Saints
Giants.
And Falcons and Buccaneers littering these lists. But Michael Thomas is at the top of my list. Julio Jones, close second. Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, and Chris Godwin rounding out the top five. Tyler Lockett, as long as he gets on the field, I want to start him, and it looks like he's going to. Devontae Adams, Julian Edelman, DJ Chark, and Cooper Kupp rounding out my top 10. Calvin Ridley, a very,
well, but
very, like, 10A honorable mention. I wanted to put him in there, but I just didn't have enough room.
Okay, I've got DeAndre Hopkins at the top of my list, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, if he's healthy enough to get out on the field, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin separately, Tyrell Williams, Josh Gordon, Cooper Kupp, and Robbie Anderson rounding out my top 10 with Demaryius Thomas garnering an honorable mention.
Okay, there you go. Alshon Jeffrey at the top of my list. I don't care if he plays. The fact that Carson Wentz targeted wide receiver six times in an entire game is terrifying, and they're going against a better defensive matchup here. I don't want any part of it. I don't want any part of a lot of what the Eagles are doing this week. Tyler Boyd also on my avoid list, as well as Sterling Shepard. I'm excited his brains aren't scrambled anymore, but I don't think it's a great matchup. Juju Smith-Schuster, it doesn't look like he's going to play. Even if he does, don't start him. Chris Conley, Taylor Gabriel, Josh Reynolds, Brandon Cooks, Deontay Johnson again. Even if they're healthy, I probably still don't want to start them. It's just not worth it this week. Robbie Anderson and Nelson Aguilar.
All right, I've got Devontae Adams at the top of my avoid list, A.J. Green, Kenny Galladay, Darius Slayton, Golden Tate, and Sterling Shepard. I listed all three of them separately. Devontae Parker, Cortland Sutton, D.D. Westbrook, and D.J. Chark also listed separately. So, yeah, I'm unraveling my combos just to come up with 10.
Still comboing, but just on separate lines of the spreadsheet.
No. I had to split them up like that just to get to 10 to avoid.
Too much purgatory. Too many people in purgatory.
Yeah, there are a lot of people in purgatory this week in my list.
I can't wait for your turkey list next week. It's going to be extensive.
Can I combine things on my turkey list? Or no?
Yes. You can have comments on your turkey list. Yes, we're gonna have a Thanksgiving parlay of people Sherpa doesn't want to play on his fantasy team.
We're stuffing everything's in there. All right, for quarterback.
I'm sorry, stealing your thunder here.
Quite all right. No, there's no thunder to be stolen. Quarterback wise, I've got Lamar Jackson at the top of my list, Deshaun Watson 2, Russell Wilson 3, Derek Carr 4, Sam Darnold, Drew Brees, Jared Goff, which really makes me nervous, but love the matchup this week. Matt Ryan, your buddy Mason Rudolph, 9, Jameis Winston rounding out my top 10, and honorable mentions to Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen.
Look at that. Look at that. You've come a long way.
I've probably listed Josh Allen in my either in my top 10 or honorable mention, you know, more often than not the last 5 or 6 weeks. So I'm stubborn and
almost
in my ways, but I'm also willing to admit when I might have overlooked something or made a mistake.
Look at you. You're evolving. I, however, probably am not. But that's okay.
I can do cartwheels, too, in my advanced age. But I won't do that on the air.
I've got Lamar Jackson at the top of my list as well. Matt Ryan at 2. Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and Deshaun Watson, my 3, 4, and 5. Jameis Winston coming in a close 6. Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Jacoby Brissett, and Josh Allen coming in number 10.
All right, my avoid list has 2 of your favorites, Aaron Rodgers and Dak Prescott at the top of it.
It's tough.
Nick Foles.
Tough out there.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Daniel Jones, Ryan Finley, Jeff Driscoll, Brandon Allen, and Kyle Allen. So if your name is
all
Ryan or if your first name is Ryan or your last name is Allen, not a good week to be on list. Yes.
I've got Baker Mayfield at the top of my void list.
Week.
Yeah. Even with Miami's banged up defense, I think it's gonna be a big time Nick Chubb experience this week. So Baker Mayfield, I'm sitting him down. Jeff Driscoll, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, Sam Darnold, Ryan Tannehill, Nick Foles. It kills me to put all of these people on this list. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Ryan Finley, and Carson Wentz. Last but not least.
I think you had about 18 people in your 10 to avoid list.
It might be. It might be 18. It feels like 10, but it feels like a lot of people I actually like. It makes me sad this week.
Okay.
But the points
are up.
How
about tight ends? Who
do
you like?
Mark Andrews is at the top of my list. Big fan of him. I think the matchup is great this week. Darren Waller at 2 and George Kittle, as long as he gets on the field, I would start him in my top 3. Greg Olson and Jared Cook running at the top 5. I've got Zach Ertz down at 6. Normally like starting tight ends against the Seahawks, but Zach Ertz is dropping some footballs lately and I'm not into it. Gerald Everett, Jacob Hollister, Noah Font, and Eric Ebron rounding out my top 10.
Right, we agree on the top 2, Mark Andrews and Darren Waller, also top of my list. I have Jets Ryan Griffin at 3rd on my list, Vance McDonald, Jacob Hollister, Jared Cook, Jordan Akins, Daniel Fells, O.J. Howard, and Cameron Brate rounding out my top 10. And I did split the Houston guys and the Tampa Bay guys.
I've got them in purgatory. I've got Evan Ingram on the top of my avoid list. Don't love the matchup. Not totally sure he's getting on a field. He seems to think so, but I don't want to start him if he does. Vance McDonald, Jason Witten, Mike Gesicki, Dallas Goedert, Ryan Griffin, Jimmy Graham, Tyler Eifert, Jack Doyle, and Delanie Walker. Looks like he's going to be back, but probably not the week to start him.
All right. Zach Ertz is at the top of my avoid list, along with Evan Engram and Greg Dolson. Jimmy Graham, Tyler Eifert, Mike Gesicki, TJ Hockenson, and Noah Font. So not a good week if you're an Iowa tight end who was a first-round draft pick in 2019 if you want to be on my recommended list, because you're not.
Jeez. Tough list to get on, I'll tell you that.
It is.
What are you thinking about defenses this week?
It's pretty exclusive. Defenses, a bunch that I like, laying off with
Chicago. We've got our tiers.
Chicago.
The tiers are back.
Yes. Well, no, this is just one jumble in no particular order. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Washington, Buffalo, New Orleans, Tennessee, New England, and San Francisco are my recommended defenses for this week.
Well, thanks for that.
Well, I have
I've
Chicago
got
on
Buffalo
there, too, so not like I was playing favorites.
Nope. I have Buffalo at the top of my list, followed by the Steelers. I mean, what are you going to do? The Bears and the Saints. The Browns are checking in at 5 on my list. The Jaguars, Seahawks, Lions, Raiders, and the Redskins, believe it or not, are going to round out my top 10.
You know, you always hear this every year, you know, there's some really lousy NFL team, you know, this year, the Bengals.
Yes.
There's a bunch
Bengals,
of
the Bungles.
With the Bengals.
Very bad.
Probably at the top or the bottom of the list, depending on your perspective. I wonder what would happen if they played Ohio State this year. Do you think that the Bengals would blow them out 70-0? Would it be that uneven, or do you think it might actually be a competitive game?
I think it might actually be a game. I think it would.
Maybe we can petition the NFL to make that happen.
I'd watch
it. How about this? So if you're the NFL team with the worst record in the league, you have to play the NCAA champion, and you have to beat them in order to get the first draft pick. If you lose to the NCAA champion, then you forfeit the top pick in the draft. How much fun would that be to watch?
That would be great, and you also should not be able to pick any of their players. You lose them, you can't have them on your team. It's over. You lost your chance.
Yeah, I like that. That would bring a lot of – that would definitely be must-see TV, which is hard to imagine with the Bengals, but there it is.
I'd be there. I'd have appetizers. It'd be a good time.
It would be. So my avoid list for defenses this week is headlined or just includes in no particular order Indianapolis, Oakland, the Jets, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay, Carolina, the Rams, and Baltimore.
All right. I've got the 49ers, the Broncos, Falcons, Colts, Bengals, Patriots, Ravens, Giants, Packers, and the Cowboys.
Okay, let's move on to game picks and see how this all shakes out in terms of our predictions.
I'm thinking you're not
going to
like mine. I'm going to be very honest.
Well, you're not exactly going out on a limb there. We do tend to disagree more often than agree, I think.
True. Also worth noting, don't forget, people, we've got our last four teams on bye this week. The Cardinals, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Vikings all not playing. Next week, we'll be back to our full complement of games. It'll be a good time.
Okay. Thursday night game in progress as we speak. We've got Indianapolis visiting Houston. I think this will be a shootout, or at least I thought it would be before the game started. Now it's halftime, and it's very much not a shootout. But anyway,
so
I'm hoping they'll make me look better in the second half. My predicted final score for this game was Houston winning by 3 points, which is currently the case, but I thought the final score would be Houston 30, Indianapolis 27, and as we speak here, it's going to be 10-7 at halftime, it looks like.
Yeah, not quite the offensive explosion yet, but I think the second half will bring us more joy in that respect. I actually have the Colts winning this 28-23. Jacoby Brissett was great when they met previously. I expect that to continue. Again, the first half maybe didn't bring us what we were looking for, but I still think the Colts are going to pull this one out.
All right. Next game up, the first of the early games on Sunday. Unfortunately, not being played in London. It's being played in New York. Oakland only has to travel 3,000 miles to this game instead of 6,000 or 7,000 miles. But anyway, they are playing early in the afternoon. I don't think that's going to be any problem for them, though. I think this will actually be somewhat of a shootout. Both quarterbacks have been playing well lately, and I don't think either defense is going to offer too much resistance. I'm going with a final score of Oakland 34, Jets 31.
I am a little more conservative in my scoring on this, but I have Oakland winning this 30-21. I'm still worried about Sam Darnold and very worried about that offensive line. I think Oakland, even with a defense that shouldn't get a lot of respect because they're not very good, they hang around and they're making a difference. Old John Gruden's calling the Spider 2Y banana like there's no tomorrow. Everything's okay in Oakland.
Okay. And next up, we've got the other New York team, the floundering Giants, visiting the just as floundering Bears, I think. But Giants might have the preferable quarterback here, but I still think as a team, as much as they've struggled, the Bears are still the better team, still going to win this game. They won't win many games this rest of the season, but this will be one of them. Final score, Bears at home 24, Giants on the road 17.
I, like I spoiled earlier, am taking the Giants to win this game. I'm taking a close one, 21-17. I think Mitchell Trubisky is still a little bit of a liability. I'm not convinced he's totally healthy. I know he's mentally not healthy. And even though Danny Dimes likes to turn the ball over and the Bears defense is pretty solid, I still think the Giants can steal one here. I'm hurting your top five with 87 teams in it draft pick here for the Giants. I apologize.
Right now, I think they're projected to have the number three pick overall, which, of course, if they have that, then they won't be able to draft a defensive lineman from Ohio State who they really need. But, we'll see. Maybe they'll
see how it all shakes out. Maybe the Bengals will go on a winning streak for you. You never know.
I think it's more likely that they'll Redskins will go on a winning streak, and that would include the Giants
also
in
true.
Week 16. I think that's a more likely scenario. But the Bengals are almost certainly going to be taking a quarterback with that top pick. It's just a matter of who. So whoever wants, either the offensive tackle from Georgia or the defensive lineman from, Ohio State probably needs to be picking at two or three.
We can be pretty sure it's not going to be Tua Tagovailoa. I can't talk today. I don't think he's going to be going one overall after this weekend. Poor dude.
Probably not. I think that's a pretty safe assumption.
Although with the Bengals,
of course,
can't rule it out.
There is, well, if you take him, then you're essentially tanking for next year too. So they'd have the number
I'm
one pick probably 2 weeks, two seasons in a row. I don't know if their fans, might only be willing to pay $5 for a ticket instead of $10 next week, but who knows?
Who knows is right.
All
speaking
right.
of the Bengals.
Next up, speaking of those beloved Bengals, they're at home this week against Pittsburgh. Probably be more Steelers fans there than Bengals fans. And I think
there's
Pittsburgh
a man living on a restaurant roof until the Bengals win a game. That poor man is going to spend a very cold winter outside.
Going to die of frostbite.
He might.
But,
he might not make it to their first win.
I don't think so. So I think
not going to be this week.
No, Pittsburgh. If everything broke their way, Steelers came out and decided to play without helmets this week, then maybe something would happen for
Could
the
happen.
Bengals, but I don't see that happening. So I actually think this will be the one week you might want to consider starting Mason Rudolph, as I alluded to before. But I'm going with the final score here of Steelers 41, Bengals 17 in a blowout.
I'm going Pittsburgh 27, Cincinnati 13. I'm a little more conservative because I just don't think you're going to see much of the starters most of the way. And I think that there's going to be a bit of a letdown after all the shenanigans and tomfoolery this week. So I think the Bengals will be a little more respectable than they're normally looking. Maybe that'll get that man off of the restaurant roof, but probably not.
Yeah. I think that's probably somebody who just wants someone to set up a GoFundMe site to get him off the roof, or maybe to have the restaurant
I think he owns the restaurant.
The
I'm not totally well-versed in it, but I think it's his actual restaurant. So it's probably for publicity at this point. But also, that's a dumb bet to make, you idiot.
Maybe we could, take up a GoFundMe thing to plant some health violations in his restaurant so that it gets condemned and torn down and he has to come off the roof that way.
We have to move. Have to get off the roof or smoke him out.
That's right. So next up we've got...
Oh, my God.
You never know what we're going to come up with on this show. Next up we've got Seattle at Philadelphia. Seattle, as you said, Tyler Lockett, whether he's healthy or not, that's going to make a big difference in the offense. Philadelphia, they played New England tight last week, but their offense has just been missing in action most of the season. I think
the Philly defense, I thought, looked better than they have in a long time last week. Tom Brady
well,
wasn't
that's
good.
Hard to
the
tell.
Defense, the Eagles defense really
defense
showed up.
I still think it's hard to tell. Is New England's offense just not that good, or
it was
did the Eagles
it was
play really well, which is the chicken and which is the egg? But this week, I think Seattle's slightly better team, even if they're on the road. I think the battle of the birds, the Seahawks are going to overcome the Eagles. Final score, 30-24 is my prediction here.
I've got Seattle winning 30-23, so we're pretty much on the same page. Carson Wentz needs to figure his act out, like, big time. I don't see a way, short of something catastrophic happening, that the Eagles can win this game. Seattle's too good.
Yeah, he did not look good in that game Sunday.
He looked terrible. He's never been a very accurate passer. He's been very good at getting involved near guys, and people have made him look better than he is. But he's not getting any help from his wide receivers. He's not throwing good balls. It's just, it's a mess all the way around.
Yeah, his body language was particularly bad in the Patriots game too. It looked like he was getting, you know, upset with his receivers, and in some cases you might argue that was deserved. But still, if you want to be a successful quarterback, you can't be doing that on the field.
It's also, with that receiving core, it's also not a surprise that they don't catch half the stuff you throw at them. It's been like that for years. They're just not good wide receivers. None of those are number one wide receivers. Alshon Jeffrey's half a human being. If he was healthy, sure, but he's not. He literally never is.
Yeah, he's the best of the bunch, and as you said, he's not healthy.
I don't want to hang my hat on Nelson Aguilar.
Or trust him to catch people being thrown out of burning buildings?
Never. Never in my life.
Okay.
Let's go
into
a happier game. More scoring.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Tampa Bay visiting Atlanta. Atlanta seems to have righted the ship the last few weeks. I don't know if that's enough to save Dan Quinn's job, but I think they'll continue doing that this week, building on their victories the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to go with Atlanta at home by a field goal in a high-scoring game. Lots of offense here. I'm going Atlanta 31, Tampa Bay 28.
All defense, or all offense, no defense here. I made a promise to all of you several weeks ago that I was done with Atlanta and I was done picking them to win games, and I'm going to stick true to that. I think there's a chance they'll win this game, but I think Tampa Bay's got a pretty good shot too. So I'm picking the Buccaneers to win 31-27. I just don't think this can last. It's almost midnight for Cinderella. I think that there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of injuries. I think Tampa Bay's going to come out and quasi-steal one here, but I definitely don't want any part of these defenses, I'll tell you that.
All right, next up we've got Miami at Cleveland. You know, both these teams, lots of problems. Miami is expected
TV.
To have lots of problems. No, please.
Yes.
Cleveland.
Yes.
Cleveland is supposed to be pretty good this year, but not so much. I think Cleveland is still the better team, much as I hate to say it, but I'll go with them to win this game at home. Cleveland 27, Miami 21.
I've got Cleveland winning 24-19. I'm thinking there's going to be a missed extra point, if you're wondering how I got to 19.
I thought you were going to say 5 field goals and 2 safeties.
God, wouldn't that be so? That would be must-see TV for me. I would want to see that kind of weirdness. I think Cleveland just has a little better overall look here. Miami's defense is destroyed. As long as maybe they try to get out of their own way, they might be able to win a football game here. At home, no less. Cleveland can rejoice.
Okay, speaking of much rejoicing, Washington, a city that could definitely use a boost, and you know, they're obviously trying to tank.
They're literally still talking about the Nationals here. That's all they have. That's it. That's all they have for joy.
Although Mr. Baby Shark left for Japan, so that's
I know people
too bad for them, but yeah. So Detroit at Washington. Much as I. Well, maybe this is a homer pick as a Giants fan. I really want Washington to start winning some games starting this week. So I'm going to go with Washington to win this by a field goal. I'll go Washington 24 and Detroit 21.
I went back back and forth on this, but I ultimately settled on Detroit winning 20-13. Every time I give Washington the benefit of the doubt, and I'm like, you know, they might be able to be a football team, they go out and they're terrible. So I'm going to go with Jeff Driskel, who I've been pleasantly surprised with. I think they're healthier. They're a little more functional. And I think they're going to – this is not going to be the game of the day, but there's some fantasy value. That's about the best I can say about it.
Yeah, you know, just looking ahead for a moment to to Thanksgiving Day, there's some real potential turkeys of games on Thanksgiving Day this year, unfortunately. Some years seems we get several good matchups, and this year, you know, we have the potential of Jeff Driskel facing off against the Bears and Mitchell Trubisky, not much fun. Got the Bills and the Cowboys, which could be an interesting game depending on how banged up the Cowboys are on defense and whether Josh Allen plays as well as he can. And then we've got the Saints traveling to the Falcons. So, you know, that potential for three not very interesting games. Some of them might be close, but that still doesn't mean they'd be interesting. But anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of Buffalo, they're at home this week against Denver. I think they're going to continue their winning ways. I'll go here with a final score of Buffalo 27 and Denver. I'll go with the Josh Allen's 27 and the Brandon Allen's 21.
The Allen, Allen bowl. You got to pick
Josh
one.
Allen,
you can
Brandon
only have
Allen,
one.
Kyle Allen. I'll pick Josh Allen.
I'm also going to pick Josh Allen. I'm taking Buffalo to win 17-14, and there's nothing I love more than watching video from the Bills pregame. So I'm very much here for this.
Okay, next up we've got Carolina on the road at New Orleans. Christian McCaffrey may be healthy, but there's not much else to recommend Carolina against an underrated New Orleans defense. So I'm going to pick New Orleans to win this one fairly handily. I'll say final score, New Orleans 34, Carolina 24.
I meant New Orleans winning 31-21, so pretty much right in the same vein. I just, like you said, Christian McCaffrey's great, but he's just one man, and it's super tough to win a game against Drew Brees at home that way. Drew Brees is so much better at home than he is on the road, and it's really tough to pick against him. So I'm not going to. I'm going New Orleans, 10 points. Take the points.
Okay, next up we've got Jacksonville at Tennessee, two teams I can't figure out. But anyway, one of them's got to win this game, and since they're at home, I'll go with
That's
Tennessee
true.
By a field goal in the Who Cares Bowl. I'll say Tennessee 27, Jacksonville 24.
Again, another one I went back and forth on. These are two of my pet teams. I went with the Fighting Nick Foles, the Nick Foley and Dynamites 23-20 in a barn burner.
If I had to watch that game, I might go find a barn to burn down somewhere.
I will happily have this on one of my TVs. You can mark that down right now. It'll be this, and it'll be Dallas and New England on the other. This is what's happening in my house on Sunday.
Goodness. All right.
This is why Sherpa doesn't hang out with me.
Next up, we've got New England hosting Dallas. New England... You know, not much offense last week, but they didn't need it because their defense played so well. Dallas offense, probably a little bit more of a challenge for them than Philly's was, but I think Dallas's defense, too, probably not quite the challenge that Philly's was last weekend. I'm going to go with New England at home by a field goal. I'll say New England 27, Dallas 24.
I'm actually taking Dallas in a bit of an upset here, 27-23 over New England. I don't know why. I don't have a really good reason other than I think the offense can look a little bit better than the New England offense can this week. So we'll see what happens.
All right, and here's a game I know we're going to disagree on. Green Bay and the Aaron Rodgers
100%.
Traveling out to San Francisco. You have little faith. I know you don't believe in San
Garoppolo
Francisco.
Hater. I'm open about
it. They did bounce back last week and then screwed over bettors with the last play touchdown to boot. I'm going to go here with San Francisco to win this by a field goal. I'll say San Francisco 27 over the Aaron Rodgers' 24.
I'm taking Green Bay 30-21, so I think it's a decisive victory here in prime time. I think Green Bay can do it. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to turn the ball over. That's the difference.
Okay, and then finally we've got the Rams hosting Baltimore on the Monday night game. Should be a good game. Sure most people, including you, are probably going to pick the Lamar Jacksons, but I'm going to say that the Jared Goffs have a bounce back week and pull it out by a field goal at home. Well, it sounds like a broken record.
Go
with the final score, 34-31.
I've got Baltimore winning 27-20. I think the defenses will be a factor here. I think this is a very good game, but quite frankly, I could see it going the other way. So I'm not hating on your pick in any way, shape, or form. We, of course, want to hear what you guys have to say and just a couple of daily fantasy value picks for you. Before we send you on your way this week, at quarterback, you've got a lot of good options. Matt Ryan, Jeff Driscoll, Daniel Jones, Jameis Winston, Baker Mayfield, and Ryan Tannehill. All good bang for your buck there. At running back, Bo Scarborough, who said to pick up off the waiver wire, should start him on your DFS teams as well. Darius Geis and Aaron Jones. At wide receiver, Kenny Golladay, Darius Slayton, Scotty Miller in Tampa, who's kind of taken over that number three role there. Good little slot receiver and not going to cost you anything. Jamison Crowder and Calvin Ridley running out the wide receivers there. At tight end, Dallas Goedert, Jimmy Graham, and Delanie Walker, as long as he gets on the field, which it looks like he will. And on defense, the Saints, Tampa Bay, and the Falcons all going to be all right for you there. If you're looking for stacks this week, Atlanta, New Orleans, Detroit, and Tampa Bay would all be my picks. A lot of points to be scored there. So we want to hear what you guys have to say and what you think about our picks as well as your predictions. Find us all week long all over social media. We're on Twitter at the number 4, THN Inches Show, at JKIM16, and Fantasy _ Sherpa. You can find us on Facebook at the Fantasy Football Sherpa fan page. And, of course, we'll be back with you next Wednesday night from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as we are every week. And we'll be giving you all the starts, all the sits, who to pick up on the waiver wire, injuries, of course, and our predictions, as well as our Thanksgiving turkeys, which are always a crowd favorite. So come by, let us know who your turkeys are, and we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much. Good luck this week, unless, of course, you're playing us.